Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
On Pilot TV this week, we are back running operatives with Michael Fassbender in season 2 of The Agency on Paramount Plus, and getting all up in yet another missing persons case with Colin Farrell in season 2 of Sugar. And that is it. Why? Because of a little thing called the World Cup, which has devoured all shows around it like a giant, hungry, football-playing dragon. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to Pilot TV, your essential guide to every show that matters in the podcast that is delighted to welcome back to the fold notorious part-timer Kay Ribeiro. Hello, Kay.
Yay.
Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Boydo. Thank
round of applause.
You.
Round of applause for Kay.
Thanks for
now,
having me.
I'm reading here in my notes
that
you took an extended break to catch up on all 3 seasons of Foundation. How was that for you? Did you enjoy that? Was that good?
Still a big bastard, I see.
Yes. Nothing has changed around here.
No, I didn't. I was tending to a sick loved one, but I'm back now. And do you know what? During my time off, I thought I'd have more occasion to watch TV. Obviously not Foundation, but I didn't. And in the last week, because I knew I was coming back on, but James, I...
See, she's mixed us up already.
Bames.
Yeah.
I have sorted up a little bit, so I had some things to talk
about. Okay, good. Yeah. Good. See, Boydie, that's what professionalism looks like. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Boydie's also here. Hello, Boydie.
Thanks. Can I just say you're wrong about the impact of the World Cup on TV in general. That's not the reason this particular week that there isn't much to cover. It's because of embargoes. There are actually quite a load of big shows, which we'll get to when we talk about the Also On section.
Oh, will we?
Yes, but the World Cup isn't affecting
TV.
Not yet. It will do when Wimbledon starts, which is in about 2 weeks' time, less than 2 weeks' time. That's when you're going to see the effect, because literally BBC is just wall to wall sport. It's just wall to Wimbledon and World Cup. But there
good
are
time other, to be James.
There mm-hmm. is, but there is some counter programming before then of big new shows. I was surprised myself just how many big new shows are coming back during the World Cup because
name some.
The Bear.
Correct.
Thank you. To name just one.
That backfired on me.
Silo's back. We've got some sci-fi counter-programming, which is nice.
House of the Dragon, which we reviewed.
Ironically, both of the shows we're doing this week air before House of the Dragon, which we reviewed on last week's show.
Exactly.
So, I mean, everything's upside down.
Yeah, so, you know, there is stuff happening. It's just, there are some things affected by the World Cup, but not everything. You can't blame the whole...
Boy, I choose to blame the World Cup for all of the world's ills at the moment.
Have you watched any of it?
Of course not. I'm trying to be as blissfully oblivious as possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have been committed to watching one match a day, and I'm enjoying it very much.
Let's move on to what we've been watching that isn't football. Crucially, isn't football. Kate, what have you been watching for the last 6 months?
Shut up. Rivals, James, Series 2.
We should say you and Boydie are being let off the leash. You are going to be given free rein to chat all things Rival Season 2 in the next Pilot Plus when you are going to.
Have you not watched any of it then?
No.
Series 2. Okay, fine. Well, it's chef's kiss, no notes. But we're going to discuss it and thrash out all the details, including my favourite episode, episode 6. I've been very ensconced in that. Also, 2 weeks in August. The stress watch that was 2 weeks in August. Yeah. I know you've
reviewed it. It was stressful, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh my God, mega stressful. Mm. But I enjoyed it a lot, and I just feel like it would have resonated with a lot of people, experiencing maybe a middle-aged malaise and, you know, just like thinking, what are we doing with our lives? Whether you're single
who
or
are
in
you
marriage.
Talking about?
I mean, who among us, Kay, hasn't microdosed mushrooms at an opulent, is it what, Portuguese villa? Where is it?
Yeah.
Is it Portugal?
Crete.
Villa.
Yeah.
Because all the Greek myths, remember?
That's right.
We'll look to do that at the Christmas party.
Microdose mushrooms on the show. Right, okay,
fine. The pod party.
Yeah.
That could be like viewers.
You're getting Stetsons and everything in for your special.
We are,
what's
yes.
it called? What do you call
well,
it?
Well, we'll get onto that.
Oh, okay.
We will get onto that.
So why not get some...
You and Steph going to dress up?
There may be cowboy attire
cosplay
in the works.
Anyway, 2 weeks in August, I really enjoyed that. I thought Jessica Raine in particular was fantastic in it. And then off campus... Have either of you heard of this? Have you discussed it?
We reviewed it on the show.
Right, well, you reviewed it on the show. No one else watched it. Because if you recall, Steph and I were not given screeners.
Oh, yeah.
But Steph, so you reviewed it solo.
Steph then did catch up with it. She's obsessed with it.
Yeah. Yeah. James, you'll like it because it's raunchy. It's an American romantic drama.
This is full disclosure before you. This is on my what I've been watching list as well. So I too have succumbed to the allure.
I knew you would.
Of Off Campus, although I'm crucially not watching it on the train for obvious reasons.
Is it
Northern
Line?
NSFW. But yes, it's great.
Well, I'm on episode 5, so don't tell me anything. And yeah, I've enjoyed it. And I also think, you know, what's important to mention is that it's got emotional depth. Right? Unexpectedly.
Among other things, yes. Among other things.
Yes, other things have depth too. Anyway, the end. That is what I've been watching.
But the off-campus thing is actually quite funny because I came to it quite late because I didn't get to see it when we reviewed it on the show. And there was lots of talk. A friend of mine had dialed in to say it was just boobs, bums and willies all over the place. Like it's basically Pornhub. And I was like, is it? Immediately added it to the sofa list. But what I found quite fascinating about it, which I guess I didn't know going in because obviously I wasn't listening when Boydie reviewed it, is based on the books by L. Kennedy, but the showrunner, Louisa Levy, is obviously a woman. All of the directors are a woman, and this is a very committed female gaze show, which, I mean, we were talking about Every Year After, and I gave it a stirring defense of the female gaze.
Yeah.
But having now watched this, weirdly, Boydie, I've come around to say, this does a similar thing, but much, much better.
It's much more committed.
It's because the writing's sharp and it's funny and the characters have real depth to them. Mm-hmm. But again, like all the male characters, even like the big, like ice hockey playing jocks, they're all incredibly emotionally literate and sensitive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a real sort of interiority to the characters. And it has this very, you know, which is why I think the audience that has been largely women and they've absolutely loved it. It's been a massive hit.
And as we said, equal ops in terms of flesh exposure.
Yes, that's right.
It has in common with Rivals, I have to say. So, you know, a lot has been done on that in that arena, and I appreciate it.
They even have a discussion about what it is to be boy hot versus girl hot as a woman.
Oh my God, yeah.
Which I thought was a great observation. Yeah. And they talk about the male gaze and how she's, you know, catering to it, which I thought was a really interesting thing.
Your eyes have lit up.
No, I really like it because the actual setup for this show feels super basic. Like, girl pretend dates jock to make music guy jealous. Like, it's so basic. But the execution is kind of where it succeeds. So, yeah.
The serenading moment was touching.
What I love is that this was actually Kay's pick of what she's watching. And you've totally mansplained in classic style.
James Blaine. I feel this moment has been a welcome return home.
I feel like you've not been away.
It's like you've never been away. What else is there to know, really?
No. Kay, let me explain the female gaze to you in greater detail.
Oh my God, this is harking back to the Doctor Who thing where you didn't like it.
Absolutely brilliant.
I thought about that the other day.
To be fair to me, Kay had drawn a line and stopped talking about it. She said, and that was it. She had finished.
Can I just say, in his defence, I absolutely had drawn breath.
That's acknowledged. Breath draw.
Kay paused to breathe, and that was my end.
I'm going to add to the mansplaining by pointing out, I was going to wait for news for this, but... What is interesting is, what with Heated Rivalry and this, there's another, Netflix has commissioned this show called Icebreaker, which is another sexy drama set in the world of ice hockey.
It's buddies abound.
Puck-based, ice hockey-based rom dramas and comedies are spectacularly in. To the extent to which it's almost bizarre that, you know, that all of this genre has been created, which focuses solely
on... I'm here for it.
Ice hockey.
Yeah, it's a wild subgenre to sort of define 2026, but here we are.
So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in, Kay, to the general mansplaining.
You'll be happy to know I've actually now rounded up my list.
So there's no hardcore pucking elsewhere, that was it?
No, that's it. Okay. You can now, what have you been watching?
No, it's Boyd next.
Oh, okay,
Boyd
fine.
Next.
Well, I have been watching a lot of the World Cup, so it has taken a lot of my time. The reason you're so angry, by the way,
one of the many reasons
in a state of anger is because it's affected my ability to take part in, say, you know, a spoiler special discussions of, I don't know, Paradise on Disney Plus, which we've been trying to sort out for weeks. And I have to admit that it has intervened somewhat in my general viewing habits, because there are like three, sometimes four matches every day. Mm-hmm. And you can wake up, this morning I woke up to one that was in the middle of the game at 7 a.m. and finished about 7:30. Then we'll go home later and watch the game that kicks off at 5, and then there's one at 9. So it is taking up a lot of my viewing time, and I apologise for that. And that is why I think you'll be angry.
It's the level of unprofessionalism that I struggle with.
Yeah. I could launch a full scale, which I'm really tempted to do, analysis of the ITV versus BBC coverage of the World Cup, but I thought that would be indulgent, so I'll leave that to another time.
I would like to talk to you about it off pod.
We can talk about it.
Which one's best?
ITV's best.
Okay, good to know.
Which could be surprising, maybe.
Who's the lineup on that?
Ian Wright, Roy Keane, Gary Neville, who, by the way, do you know our worst-world colleague, Stephanie Seelan, is obsessed with Gary Neville. Did you know about that?
No, I
she's
did not.
She's talked about it on the podcast. Yeah, she's actually fancies in the
position. No.
Yes, she does.
Yes.
Is this attention seeking?
It's absolutely
what's going on.
It feels like her love is pure. Mm. Now, and along those lines, Bordy, you have a little sound clip that you want to play, don't you? Which is like, imagine this is a sneak peek at what goes on behind the curtain on Pilot Plus. We're going to present it without explanation or context. You ready, Bordy?
Yep, here we go.
Do it.
Dick Van Dyke. Oh, yes, please.
There we go. There we go. That's a peek into the mind of Steph Seelan.
Gary
Neville and Dick Van Dyke's on a list.
Dick Van Dyke, who, let me remind you, is 100 years old.
Yeah, I know. Well, she's open to all offers. Mm. So,
Alice and Steve, eat your heart out.
In terms of name dropping, I do want to say this, which is that Mark Pugach, who hosts the ITV coverage, Poogs is his name.
Poogs.
He accidentally FaceTimed me.
What?
On Sunday night after the match that was on ITV at 3 a.m.
No way.
I'm not kidding you.
How do you know it was accidental?
Because I was like, you didn't mean to on WhatsApp. And he's like, no. So, yeah, because we were messaging each other. He messages me. I can message the presenter of live World Cup games on WhatsApp in the middle of the program.
That is crazy.
Isn't that brilliant? Because basically, he's been on my Arsenal podcast quite a few times. He comes
that
on
is,
it.
Of all his name drops, yeah, and his, you know, is, that is actually quite impressive.
I love it so much. Literally, you'll be chatting away about Roy Keane and Ian Wright on my WhatsApp while he's hosting the show. So there we go. That's
well
my,
done, you win. And that's you. The end of the podcast.
As for what I've been watching, non-related to the World Cup, mm-hmm. Widow's Bay. Now, I don't know if you know, Kay, but Steph Seelan, for some reason, took against this show right from the start.
Yeah, Boyd and I were massive fans of it, and she just thought it was shit. And
she did a massive reverse ferret, and has come. No, actually, regular listeners will know that she loved the show, this mm-hmm. show, from the beginning.
Did you two hate it?
This is the Matthew
we
Reece.
Did.
Fine.
Well, yeah. He really.
Hey, hey,
no,
hey, hey. No. I am not
come
letting
on,
you off the
come
hook.
On, just like,
now, this is the
who
finger
is going
of accusation.
Like,
you have done a reverse ferret, but on that first podcast, and don't make me pull out a sound clip just to prove this point. You agreed with me wholeheartedly and you thought it was dreadful.
Listen, all I'm saying is I have done a reverse ferret, and I admit that I was wrong in my review of the first couple of episodes, but you were more harsh about it than I was. You have to acknowledge that.
Do you know what? You're just a couple of ferrets,
the level of criticism of that show, you so much so that you haven't gone back.
I haven't.
So at least I acknowledge the fact that I was wrong and I've gone back and completely changed my mind. Anyway, it finished this week and it did not.
We were going to do a spoiler special on Pilot Plus.
We were going to do a spoiler special. But bloody Sophie.
Bloody Sophie Seelan. Bloody God, unbelievable.
Steph's too busy doing like putting
She's
magazines
a very
together and shit.
Busy woman. She runs two magazines.
Talking about unprofessional.
Yeah.
She was the one who championed it. And now I'm like going, yeah, we should do a spoiler special just after it finishes, i.e., literally now today.
Well, do you know what? Maybe you and James should do a spoiler special.
No, you haven't fucking watched it.
No, but maybe he needs to catch up because you two hated it.
I have conceded that I may have been mistaken. So I am going to give it another chance.
Although I will tell you this. There's one episode, I think it's 4, maybe 5, that you will find excruciating because it is really tough in terms of like...
Why did you warn him?
So, you know about these things.
That could have been enjoyable for us.
I know. But it is like the horror in that episode is like of someone, of a character being just painfully ostracized and, you know, it's awkward and painful. Every scene in it is awkward and painful. Yeah.
But I think it's the awkwardness of the first episode, which I found excruciatingly unfunny, was fairly strong. So.
Yeah, this is more or less... trying to be funny, it's just quite painful.
Okay. Anyway, we'll see.
So is the bottom line that you think it's good now?
I think it's absolutely brilliant. And,
okay.
And it also gets better and better and better. By the time you get to the ending, it's as horrific, impressively scary and horrific. Not scary is the wrong word, but it is, because it mixes horror and comedy. That's, mm-hmm. you know, that's a really difficult thing to do. But you really, it's really haunting, the horror element of it. And the comedy element of it, they're judged so perfectly when to deploy, you know, kind of, not jokes, but funny moments, or moments that are so darkly funny, you're kind of like guiltily...
Does it relieve the tension?
...laughing at them. And it doesn't, know. It only maintains the tension somehow, and yet it also manages to be funny at the same time. That is the incredible trick, really, I think, that he pulls off. And it does, to use the time-honoured phrase, stick the landing, the finale. So we will do, Steph and I will do, I'm sure, a spoiler special discussion at some point in the near future. So that was brilliant. And I just wanted to, I forgot to mention last week, I think someone else mentioned it, the four seasons, it's also a new story because they've just commissioned a third season of the four seasons.
they'll have to do a fourth season.
This Tina Fey's writing on this, of how she portrays like a married couple, for example, and it's different couples. That's the whole premise, is different duos get together as friends and go on holiday together in each season.
I was going to say to you, I've watched it, and then I realised you're talking to the listeners.
I'm talking to the listeners, yeah. I'm explaining to the listeners.
Like, why are you Boyd-splaining four seasons to me? I know what it's about.
Have you carried on watching? Have you watched season two?
Yeah, so I've watched the first two episodes, and I have to say, I wasn't as into it, I think, because I missed Steve's character.
Yeah, well...
But I'll go back to it.
Yeah. It is. I just think it's brilliantly well written. And yeah, so that's been... I finished the four seasons, the second season, and the third season will be coming soon. Not soon, but it's been commissioned by Netflix, and it's a fantastic show. There you go, James.
Well, as you know, I have watched the entire fifth season of Yellowstone in the past week.
That goes without saying.
But I'm not going to get into that here because, as Kay has alluded to, we are going to do a Yellowstone special.
A dress-up session,
Plus,
by the sounds of it.
Which we're actually going to film in the studio. And yes, there's going to be an attempt. I'm not sure how successful we're going to be, but I certainly said to Steph,
Boyd,
we should try and dress up as cowboys.
I'm not involved in this.
Boyd's not even invited.
I've really managed to remove myself from the whole...
His Stetsons and his hat, that's just for the weekend. That's not for recording sessions.
Yeah.
That's true.
Look, best case will look like Rip and Beth. Worst case will look like the Village People. It's very unclear how this is going to go, but we're gonna try. If someone can donate a Stetson, that would be helpful. I don't have one.
Please get Marco in to do a shoot so that people can have it as a poster.
I may put the video out. So we're going to do a Yellowstone special because some people didn't like it in Pilot Plus, but then other people were obsessed with it. So we've decided we'll go big or go home. So we're just going to do a Yellowstone special episode.
Steph's been updating me and telling me she's in a viewing competition with you.
Yeah, I
won.
Incidentally,
I told her even if she gets RSI, she just needs to like glue those eyeblows. Yeah.
Have you ever watched Yellowstone, Kay?
No, I haven't.
I'm gonna tell you what was said on the me and Steph WhatsApp chat when we were talking about Yellowstone. So I sent her a message as soon as I finished it. I sent her a message just saying, done. And this was at 9:27 last Sunday. She responded, fuck you. I'm on episode 7, season 5. Oh, and fuck you. And if you start watching Dutton Ranch, I will take you to the train station. I'm so angry right now.
She would be furious because she was so desperate to beat you.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, yeah. So keep them peeled for the Yellowstone special, which will be dropping soon. Obviously, I watched Off Campus as well. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I watched this week, Boyd. I finished.
Oh my God, I thought you meant Boyd, like you had a camera set up.
Yes, I was watching Boyd.
There is a character called Boyd in the Steven Spielberg film, Disclosure Day. Did you notice that?
There is a Boyd.
And I went to the screening that I saw it at. There's a moment early on in it where I think it's Carmen Domingo's character says, Boyd, you should do this. And like I jumped and the person next to me went, ha, it's you. I was like, yeah, that's my name. Anyway, carry on.
I finished Tiptoe. Which I know you didn't think I was going to do.
I'm amazed because I
strapped in, I girded my loins, and it was traumatic.
Yeah,
and just when I thought I'd kind of ridden over most, I knew where it was going anyway, because obviously you do from the first episode. That final episode is one of the most upsetting things I have ever seen on television, and I needed to have a proper sit down at the end of it.
Oh,
it's on my list, but I don't know if I can face it right now.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It is. It's extraordinary. Right. But that, it is so... I mean, props to David Morrissey, because he is
incredible,
terrifying. And that baying group of... Anyway.
Football fans.
Well, football fans, yes, indeed. Yeah. But it's just, it's so... just disturbing and upsetting and brutal and unflinching in what it does. Because I don't know, in my head, I didn't think it was going to be that full on. Mm. I don't know why. I was unprepared for the graphic nature of it.
You know, like he doesn't hold back.
No, he doesn't. But I think he's making a very sort of important point. And I guess he's absolutely right. You don't make it subtly. You make it by making a lot of noise. And that's literally what he did. And I was kind of, I disappeared down a rabbit hole of kind of reading stuff afterwards. And obviously, we know that LGBTQ hate crimes are on the rise, but I was reading that there's this thing called the Rainbow Map, which ranks European countries on their legal and policy protections for LGBTQ plus people. And the UK is 22nd out of 49 nations. Mm. And 11 years ago, it was ranked first.
Really?
So that's quite extraordinary.
Who's ranked first now?
I do not know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
See, I did a certain amount of research, but clearly not enough.
No, that's fine. No, but that's the most
is wild.
Shocking.
Yeah. Mm. And so in terms of sort of backsliding, in terms of social progress, I think that's quite extraordinary. But also, like, I felt like, you know, this was very much about queer issues, but it felt like a very much a sort of a, you know, a microcosm for just social division as a whole.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And the polarity of the dialogue and the toxicity of the dialogue at the moment. And yeah, it really, I mean, it knocked me for six, it really did. It's an extraordinary thing. It is, I hate to say it, it is essential viewing, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's definitely, he's always unflinching, essentially, but this is the most powerful and kind of just shocking thing he's ever written.
No, without doubt.
It's on a different level, from because it's a thriller in, you know, in terms of the way it plays out.
Yeah.
And it's very tense. And that the tension and the chilling effect of that finale is definitely way beyond anything he's done before, I think, in terms of power and importance.
Side note, you've probably already, have you discussed your big news already?
No, I was going to leave that to news, to the news section.
Oh, okay. But, well, it could be a nice segue.
Let's talk about it now, Boydie, okay. While we're talking about
the cat is out of the bag. Yes. Just go.
Yeah.
The cat is out of the bag.
We've had to keep this secret for so long.
We are now in the presence of the Notorious RTD's official biographer.
Yes, we are.
I'm not sure if that is the framing that has been announced for the book, but co-author, I think it's.
Yeah.
Co-author.
You wrote a book together.
We wrote a book together. Yes, we have written a book together, yes. The Queerest of Folk, it's called. My Life in Television. His life.
That's next,
Davis,
though, surely.
With
come
me.
On.
Yeah. Yeah, it was announced the other day, and it's incredibly exciting, yes. Obviously,
it's really exciting.
Yeah. Out Thursday, the 8th of October, if you want to do a pre-order, Kay.
Oh, listen, I mean, I obviously will
he's going to give me a copy, but you obviously,
I'm getting a free copy signed, et cetera, et cetera, but I will also pre-order one.
Yeah. It's all about the pre-orders, as everyone... Yeah.
Everyone listening should. That's so exciting. What span of time are we covering?
We're covering the whole period of his professional career from 1990. Well, even before when he started out working at Granada on soap operas, and he created his own science fiction shows, and it goes all the way. Queer as Folk, which is where we first met. I went to the launch of Queer as Folk in 1999, 27 years ago.
A big champion,
and. Right up to Tiptoe, and then he talks about Tiptoe, and there's quite you know, the closing chapter, quite a lot about that, and yeah, it's been a fantastic experience for me to work on it.
Boy, just one question.
Yes,
that all sounds great.
Yeah,
but did you cover off the most important event in his career?
Doctor Who?
Nope.
No, you're a big fan.
Pilot 200 Live.
That's right. The live podcast.
I hope it's got mentioned in there, boy.
Is there a butterfly
chapter?
There isn't a whole butterfly chapter. I'm trying to remember. There might be a butterfly reference. I think there might be.
Any mention of the live? Come on, it was a great moment for all of us. I mean, I thought...
It was a career high point for us. Right?
Yeah.
I feel safe in saying that.
Yeah. I think he thought ever since we did do that dissection of the butterfly show, that he felt a bit worried that that might, you know, at some event, he might meet someone involved.
Oh, right, and come back and haunt him.
So maybe it isn't in the book.
Okay.
In which case,
I would just suggest when you're doing book signings or Waterstones, whatever, if you could just bring a biro and just write it in. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, the official quote, Russell says, it's got lots of fun, some gossip, stories of shows never made, and insights into the day-to-day life of writing for television. The shows, the people, the job itself, from CBBC to Golden Days at Granada in the 90s, how Queer as Folk changed his life, Doctor Who twice, and all the way up to Tiptoe. And do you know what my quote was for the press release?
It's well good.
It pretty much said that.
Go on.
This is as reported in the Radio Times. It says, Heat journalist Boyd Hilton described the process as one of the joys of my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Second to this.
And I declared that Russell T Davis, second to this podcast, and I declared Russell T Davis to be a literal and figurative giant of TV drama.
Bravo, Boydo.
Yeah.
Great quote.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Because he's very tall.
He's huge.
Yeah.
He's a
absolutely
very tall huge, man.
Absolutely massive, yeah. So, yes.
Exciting. Well, congratulations to you both.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
Yeah.
And now we can finally talk about it, which is a relief.
Yes, because it has been. It's been top secret for a very long time.
Don't imply that I've told you something.
No, but you told us in the last week before you were announcing
it. Yes.
Wink, wink, nudge, say no more.
The mere hours before it was announced.
Yeah. In fact, I was furious. I sent him a furious text because he told me a week before the announcement was coming out, when he told me originally. And then I saw it on Instagram, the picture of it, like this manuscript. I didn't know about that picture. And so I texted him. I was like, right, we didn't discuss
this. Which is just the holding cover, by the way, obviously. The
yeah, I know. It's just like, it's literally the proof of it. But yeah, I was just furious that he hadn't chosen to call me to discuss it. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
you now know better, Boydie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Apologia. Yeah. That is the big news of the week, obviously.
Everything that is. Else. There's no other news.
No. It's not other news.
Other than Rival Season 3. Has been greenlit.
Are we just moving on to news now? Is that what we're doing?
I thought that was the beginning of news.
No, we have a whole list of questions to do. How long you've been away, Kay? How long?
Apologies.
And the things you've forgotten.
It was ambiguous, to be fair.
I thought there was just a bit of synergy there because we talked a bit of a news, but
no. We're going right back to the list of questions. Otherwise, Jay in Newcastle will be very upset with you.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is what Jay has to say. I was recently told to watch the rebooted Play for Today by a friend, specifically the last episode set in a school, Special Measures. My friend said, it's not really you, but I think you'll love it anyway. And they were absolutely right. It was amazing and way more tense and enjoyable than I thought it would be. Now I'm telling other people to do the same, with the same little caveat. It might not be for you. It's on Channel 5, but you'll love it. So, the question from Jay is, what has been your best not normally for you show that you've been recommended and ended up loving? Happy Valley was another one of these types for me too, though I'd thought I'd hate it, but it's now one of my favourites ever. From Jay in Newcastle, anticipating James now doing a bad Geordie accent. I'm going to spare you that, Jay, out of, you know, sensitivity.
Spare the
whole
world.
This is new.
Yeah.
See, I've evolved
while you've
been away. Yeah. Right. Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot.
No, you can do. Actually, it's RTD related.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I know what this is going to be.
The War Between the Land and the Sea, aka the Sea People. I ordinarily probably wouldn't have watched that just because I don't have any kind of connection to Doctor Who and that backstory, you know, that kind of connection to it. And sci-fi. And then because of the pod, I watched it and I really enjoyed it. So that would be my main show that in recent times that I've come to.
That's a good chapter on
because
that.
It's been recommended.
Queer as the Folk, My Life and Television.
You're going to be a nightmare, aren't you?
Yeah.
For the next few months. But no, genuinely, that's my answer because you guys recommended it, well, on the pod, and I continued.
That is Kay's one answer. We will now move on.
Listen, just because I can, the one and done.
Tradition. Yeah. Always one and done.
Always one
never,
and done.
Never likes to break the one and done format.
Yeah.
And then you will come up with 20.
Yeah.
And I'll have three.
Despite telling us about, you know, being tighter in terms of time.
I believe in being comprehensive.
Yes, he likes to wax lyrical.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah.
Go on.
See, Boydie, this must be a tricky question for you.
It is.
Because everything is your
exactly.
bag.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. That is the point to be made, is that I am open to all genres of television and I'm not small-minded or
there must be
snobbish.
Something.
There must be
something. I've come up with two...
Animation.
Animation. Ooh. You know what? Animation is a good point. I didn't think of that. I should have thought of
that. The mind is still sealed to that, is it?
Oh yeah, completely. Well, no, like, you know, there is some animation I do like and admire. You know, I mean, The Simpsons is a brilliant show, animated show. Obviously, you may have heard
Topical.
Of it.
Topical.
It's been going for like 30 years.
What a niche reference.
It's very niche. It's very obscure. But I was reminded of it recently, how brilliant it can be, because of Cape Fear, because the Cape Fear episode that you talked to Javier Bardem about is. Absolute masterpiece. Anyway, no, but I forgot about my issues with animation, but that would have been a good suggestion. But I've thought of a couple of shows that I wouldn't have necessarily bothered watching or getting that excited about until they then arrived and I watched them properly. So, Bridgerton. I remember when Bridgerton started. So if there's a genre that I'm not entirely thrilled by in general. It's historical period drama like that.
Don't you love Downton Abbey?
Yeah, but we're both in the same boat on that one. Mm. Downton Abbey is an example of a show that I wasn't that excited about either, but then you start watching it and, oh, it's incredibly addictive and fantastically exciting show. It wouldn't be the kind of thing I'd normally gravitate towards. And similarly with Bridgerton, even more really, because Bridgerton, I don't know, like tone, I just thought it wasn't going to be for me, basically. You know, based on a series of romance novels, you know, probably for, basically for reasons of sexism, I probably thought, you know, this is like,
we always say
for women, yeah, I am a rampant sexist, yeah. I'm known for it.
Thank you.
If not a misogynist. but I must admit, I would have thought, oh, it's adapted from a series of romantic novels, you know, am I really bothered by that? But then
for anyone not watching the video, he's scrunching up his face as he says this.
But I watched it and I acknowledged that it was a really good, particularly to start with, I thought the first couple of seasons were really good. And the other one I thought of is, well, I remember when this show came, when it was about to arrive, this show, right? And I remember a couple of publicists emailing me, it's the BBC publicists, this is your clue, can you guess what the show is? Saying, I know there's loads of shows in this genre, but this is really exceptional and this is really something special. You just have to watch it and then you will admit, or you will agree with us, even though we're BBC TV publicists, that this is a special, special thing.
Motherland.
No.
Can you give us the genre?
If I give you the genre, you'll get it.
Oh, okay.
Put it that way. I think you'll get it.
I have absolutely no idea.
It's too broad, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a terrible clue.
I'll give you the genre.
Okay.
Reality TV.
Oh, good God.
Traitors, yes, of course.
The Traitors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, what? Who gives a shit? You know, like...
Now you definitely give a shit.
But hang on, but you like reality TV.
No, yeah, well, you say that. You I am open to the best of reality TV. I'm not that into reality TV. I don't watch Love Island. I've hardly ever watched it in my life. I don't watch... I used to watch Big Brother and you watched Race Across the World. I watched
Big Brother. Yeah, you did.
Back in 1999, 2000, when at the start of Heat, I watched it for a few years, yeah. But I haven't watched Big Brother for years. Because you're such a snob, you regard anyone who even acknowledges that reality TV can be good or worth watching is a reality TV fan. But in fact, I'm not really. And
you have a Hayu subscription, don't you? I know you do.
I don't have a Hayu.
They let him wind you up.
I know.
But the thing about the Traitors I found, I don't know if you agree, is that when it first got presented to us,
yeah,
it's not an easy one to explain.
Exactly.
And it comes across as being very dull.
It.
And you just think, oh God, I can't be honest with this.
The watching experience. Some shows you just, whatever the premise is and whatever the press release says, they're not going to convey the sheer joy of watching that show, and this was, and of course a lot of that's down to Claudia, and I was like, oh, Claudia presents it, yeah, but I'm not a big Strictly fan, for example, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of your biggest flaws, but.
Right, but the Traitors, just, they were absolutely right, and I remember going, they're going, watch two or three episodes, and they're like, you're absolutely right, this is phenomenal, yeah.
On paper, not exciting,
yeah.
On TV, extraordinary.
Fantastic, yeah. So I think I've answered the question.
Can I give just an addendum to what you were talking about, you know, the period dramas, if anyone is like Boyd and, you know, a bit close-minded to period dramas. I would highly recommend The Other Bennett Sister.
Oh, yes, but I love that.
Yeah.
It's so good.
We reviewed that on the podcast and I loved it, yeah. I'm open to it.
It's just an extra recommendation.
Perfect. Boyd's vice-like closed mind can be prized open.
Speaking of which.
The animation thing I hadn't thought of, but you're absolutely right. Arcane would be my answer for the animation, because I loved Arcane. And as you know, I never willingly sit down and watch cartoons.
Exactly.
But that is fantastic. Honestly, so many shows, I don't even know where to start.
Actually, to be fair to him, I know I always rag on him for doing like 5,000 answers, but he should have 5,000 answers.
I mean, genuinely, because there are so many shows that we have done over the years that I, in a million years, would never have sat down and watch voluntarily.
Yeah.
You know, the one that I've used before is Dominic Savage's I Am series, which again, would you never, this kind of verite style, social realist, largely improvised drama, I would never have watched that. And it's quite singular and it's incredible. So that was a big one that kind of opened my eyes to things. I mean, even more recent ones like Waiting for the Outs from earlier this year, which again is not something I would watch. Dear England, I never in a million years would have voluntarily watched.
Do you remember I was telling you about, I was talking on the podcast about how there's a BBC trailer that says, that quotes the podcast.
Yeah.
And it says Empire's pilot TV podcast. And it is for Dear England.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the trade.
That
the trade
is amazing.
For England on at the moment, which is on constantly at the moment in the football.
Did you just say, I didn't hate it? James Dyer.
It says, it's really good or whatever. By, yeah, Empire's Pilot TV podcast. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's a strange thing to refer to us. Fine, that's fine.
Listen, we'll take it,
recognise
right?
that. Yeah. But yeah, I never would have watched a football thing.
No.
I mean, weirdly, like, even like, so I was going to say off campus, but actually off campus is weirdly something I 100% would have watched. I like a romance. Yeah. I like a teen drama. So yeah, that actually probably is
also,
more
also, he likes not suitable stuff for the Northern Line.
Oh yeah, yeah, like that. Not suitable for the Northern Line.
I like your valiant attempt to portray him as some kind of pervert.
Yeah, always. Do you not remember how many times, like last year, he was watching stuff? We're like, James, stop watching it on the train.
Watching the porn on the train, never a good idea. honestly, both Tiptoe and Adolescence are probably shows I wouldn't have watched otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
But anything with Alice in it, Alice and Steve, Alice and Jack, all of the Alice shows.
Oh, yeah.
Those are ones that I would never watch. Like, they're just shows that wouldn't have been on my very sci-fi centric radar, and yet I have watched and hugely enjoyed. So
still no Shrinking, James?
Still no Shrinking.
No, okay, fine.
That is not one I would have watched, and frankly, isn't one that I am watching. So.
Okay, I'm going to get Steph to work on you. She'll do.
Yeah, it's been brought up. But yeah, no, it's one of the delights of doing this podcast is that it has opened my eyes to different sort of genres and tones of television that I wouldn't otherwise have done it. Obviously, Kay, on the other hand, remains incredibly closed-minded and has not broadened her
No, you're absolutely
but,
right.
You know.
The war between the land and the sea is an example of that. Ridiculous human being.
But yeah, I've missed that, you calling James a ridiculous human being.
It's say what you see. Roy Walker stuff.
Okay, good.
Right. Old school.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we reference
not
for the youngsters.
Not Stephen Mulhern, yeah. Catchphrase, yeah.
Okay. If you have a question for the podcast or thoughts for Pilot Plus, do send them in. The address, once more, is postbag@pilottvpod.com. And now, if you like, we can move on to news.
Oh my God, finally.
There we go.
Oh, what relief.
Ridiculous. I was just saying that Rivals Series 3 has been greenlit, and that's exciting news, considering we still got the second tranche coming in November.
Yeah, in a while. Mm. Like it's
that is tough. I thought it was because of the World Cup, but it can't be.
No, that's what I said. Yeah, we
Why is it?
I just think they're doing to spread it out over as wide a period as possible. Seems to be. It is frustrating.
Okay, I've got a question, and bearing in mind how much I love Rivals, I'm worried that it will have lost its momentum by November, because it's a long time.
Yeah, it is worrying. I think in the end, the fan base will... I think they probably think that the longer something stays on a streaming service like Disney Plus, the more people are going to watch it. So by the time there'll be a bigger audience potentially by the time it rolls around in November. But it is. I would say they might as well just call it a third season. That could be the third season. Yeah. What's the difference? They've got six part.
I mean, I would suggest they just want people to keep their subscriptions, don't they? So that it's like it's a fairly cynical.
Yes.
Because people do migrate from streaming service to streaming service.
They do.
And this is incentive for them to stick around.
God, that's annoying. I think he's right.
Yeah. And I think word of mouth as well, because that's you know, we'll be very positive about it. Because so we're going to discuss, you know, the midway point finale, episode 6. Which, God, my lisp today is terrible. I've just developed a lisp in recent times. It's really annoying. Apologies to listeners. Apologies to listeners have to put up with it. I wouldn't. I think the word of mouth will be, oh, there's an amazing ending to the first tranche of episodes, if I can use the word tranche, and I have. And then, so word of mouth might build to over the next few months or even longer.
So James can catch up.
Yeah, so people like James can catch up and open their minds to the joys
of that. That will definitely happen.
It's got boobs and bums and all that, so I don't understand why you're not
opening. Okay. I am not such a simple creature that I'm so easily swayed by your pornographic programming.
About to burst into song. Okay.
Okay, can't you see?
Very good. Okay. Oh, dear. Yeah, so that was my...
Anyway, Rivals is back. That's the least, by the way, that is the least surprising news, isn't it? I mean,
Of course. But, but still something to be celebrated.
No, I'm not going to go you for saying it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course not.
Can I ask a question?
You can ask whatever you want.
Thank you. Rivals is an adaptation of one book, right?
Big, long book, though.
One book.
Yeah.
And so what we're saying is, not only did the first season not cover off the book, the second season, both parts, will also not cover off this fucking book.
No,
well,
I think they will.
About that.
I think they will have done. I think they will then have moved on to, you know, other...
Was there a sequel?
It's part of a series.
The sort of Rutshire Chronicle. Yeah. But do the characters persist through the other books?
I think so.
Okay. So it's not like they're not freestyling, just there are
no,
actually.
No, no.
Okay.
And anything would have been with Dame Gilly's, you know, approval. Permission.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to mention my second bit of big news.
Okay.
Although I'm sure you have chatted about it extensively in the last couple of weeks, or actually last week when the news broke.
Is it something to do with the Great British Sewing Bee?
No, it's not, but close. No. It's about the announcement that Edward Blumel will play Hercule.
Oh, yeah. We.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now, what did you say about that?
You must have been very excited when you heard. Or maybe you weren't. Maybe this is blasphemy.
Right. Okay. So, truth be told, I was like, it doesn't need to get remade, or, you know, we don't need any more.
Hands Hercule off
Poirot.
Hercule.
Yeah, because David Suchet is the OG, is the absolute best version of Hercule Poirot. But actually, when I saw this announcement, if it has to be made and a younger version of Poirot, Edward is perfect for it.
Edward?
Yeah.
Edward.
Your mate Edward?
Eddie, yeah.
Eddie.
Well, his name is Edward. Well, I'm Mr. Blumel. Mr. Blumel.
Be formal and respectful.
Let's be a bit more Mr. Blumel to
Mr. Blumel. Yeah. Mr. Blumel, yeah. So,
have you met him? Have you done any Q&As with him?
No, but I think I'm allowed to use his first name.
I just have interest. No, I'm not.
Are we now
I've
not allowed
moved
to
on.
Mention
people? No.
How dare you be so untoward and familiar? I am scandalised.
No, this
crazy.
I've moved on. I just thought you have might you? Have. I think I have, but I can't remember
I think
before.
I have. But
you see?
Okay, so he's been
it's
in, we might
likely.
Regret this, My Lady Jane. No, I don't think I have. I thought he was in another Agatha Christie one.
My Lady Jane, but I think I did Rob. Ryden for that, Rob. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, but yeah, he's a.
He seems a lovely
chap. I think I've met him anyway. He's
young Hercule.
Yeah. Now, you are the one. We need to know your opinion.
Yeah, because like
you
the,
are the Poirot obsessive on the panel.
Because young, like, they don't
also,
often go that well.
There's the young element. And also, remember, you hated, and I think that's not too strong a
word.
No,
it's not. It doesn't go straight. It's not strong enough.
You hated Ken.
And we both attended, right, the world premiere of. Was it Murder on the Orient Express or
the first one?
Yeah,
the first one.
Because he was running in it. Anyway.
Of course, yeah. At the Royal Albert Hall. And
great venue.
Great venue. And Kay was like my plus one, and she hated right from the word go.
Yeah.
As soon as he arrived on screen with his elaborate twirling moustache.
Oh my God, I've sat upright in my chair. Yeah. The hackles have been raised. Because I'm not going to go through it again. Long-time listeners are going to be bored of this, right?
I don't think long-time listeners are going to remember the moment when we talked about
no,
Ken
No, because I always bang on about Poirot, like about Ken, okay. Kenny B, but like... Honestly, anyone who has read the books, who loves that character, knows that certain things are true of Poirot, which is that he's a dignified man. He walks very slow in a very particular way. He's very particular about everything, about his appearance, about the
fastidious.
Way he behaves. Yeah, he's fastidious, right? Right? What he does not have is a gigantic, ridiculous moustache. Right? He doesn't run. Particularly on the top of trains.
Run.
He would never be dishevelled, have his tie or bow tie askew. It was ridiculous. It was blasphemous. It was awful. Yeah.
I love recounting this.
Don't. It's so annoying. And he brings it up.
It's hilarious, though.
Did you watch any of the subsequent Ken Poirot films?
I think I watched one more. And it makes me now too angry. I did watch one more.
Okay.
Because I try to be open-minded. But I just think if you love a character...
Funnily enough, I watched Death on the Nile. Death on the Nile was on regular TV recently. No. I love the Ustinov version.
Yeah,
the Ken Branagh Death on the Nile. And it's got so many inappropriate cancel people in it.
Oh, yeah.
That's
really?
What you forget.
It's a wash with them.
Yeah, Russell Brand's in it.
Yeah. Army Hammer's
in it. And you're like, oh my God, what were they doing? This casting is extraordinary. So that was one interesting. It's also quite a terrible film.
It's not the best. Is it Haunting in Venice?
Yeah,
the
Haunting
one?
In Venice is the best one.
Yeah, that's really good.
I did not watch that.
No.
Anyway, so you are pro Blumel in this.
From the announcement and the pitch, I obviously haven't seen any of the.
Right. Does his moustache pass muster?
I haven't seen him in character. It was just a headshot.
Oh, so we haven't. Okay, fine. So, but obviously,
Edward.
A lot's riding on the voluminosity of the moustache. Yeah. And what if he breaks into a light jog? Would that be a deal breaker?
Actually, I don't know what a young Poirot was like because we only.
Oh, so you think he might have been more energetic in his youth?
Well, he was an officer. Yes.
Oh, so possibly even a sprinter.
Well, let's not go too far.
I'm going to get in touch with the writers of this young Poirot. Can you just put a bit of running?
I'm going to put it past you, and you're so well connected, it could happen. But listen, I am excited to see it because also we're going to be exploring the early friendships with Hastings.
And Ted Hastings, extraordinary.
Captain Hastings, and with Inspector Japp. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out, and I will obviously give you my opinion.
So you're in favour of the project as a Poirot purist?
I wasn't because there's no need for it. But if it has to be done,
there's no need for it. I mean,
well,
any reboot or
even this podcast.
Accurate.
Unbelievable.
But no, if it has to be done,
yes.
Then I was nervous about who it'd be. But just looking at the picture of Edward, like, I can see it.
Yeah. Okay.
He's
yeah?
got it around the eye area.
He's got it around the eyes. He's got around the eyes. Okay.
It's a sign off from me.
Okay.
Thank God they've got your sign off.
Kay says yes.
Yeah.
Okay, in fact.
Moving on.
Other news?
Yes. Only Murders in the Building. Now, I know that I would say that interest in this show as it enters its sixth season has waned a little mm-hmm. bit. Both on this podcast and, you know...
and elsewhere.
You could say generally, but actually, it's a massive success for Disney Plus, this show. And I still really enjoy it. I enjoy, you know, it may not be my the most urgent watch. But can I just say, so the next season is based in London. Heavily.
I'm excited about that.
But the cast, have you seen the cast they've got lined up for this thing? Honestly.
Wait, is Ariana Grande in it? No, have I made that up?
Hold on, I haven't even got to that bit yet.
Sorry, carry on. But she's in something recently. They announced something. Can't remember.
Right, this is who they've announced so far. Martin Freeman, Jerry Halliwell Horner.
That's it.
Jamie Demetriou, Derek Jacobi, Jane Horrocks, Jennifer Saunders, Matthew Beard, Sharon Horgan, Divine Joy Randolph, who's obviously always in there and she's back. And then just recently they've added David Tennant, Nicola Coughlan, Jodie Whittaker.
What?
Jim Broadbent. Richard Ayoade, Catherine Hunter, and more.
It's unbelievable.
It's a who's who.
It's a who's who. I mean, you have to, you know, okay. sit back and go,
I will
actually,
be tuning in.
Yeah, that is an exciting cast. And they are investigating
a murder?
A murder.
In the building?
Shut up. Sucky devil.
They venture across the pond.
Mm-hmm.
To continue their investigation into the death of Cinder Canning, as seen in the season 5 finale. So, yeah, it's...
I like it when an American drama is London-based. Yeah. Do you remember when You came here?
Yes. That was a great season of You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. So I think it does add to the excitement. Not only the fact that they're filming here, and there are lots of... If you look at their Instagrams, the various people involved, there's some lovely stuff of them being hanging out, going to dinner in London. And I'm mm-hmm. like, which restaurant is that? Martin Short with, you know... other members of the cast, and Meryl Streep having dinner somewhere or other. Yeah,
but it needed an injection of excitement.
Yeah, I think it's a good injection.
It.
Let's mm-hmm. just say it's a good injection. Yeah.
Did you see there is a trailer for the new series of Vigil, and it is Vigil in the Arctic.
Yes.
And Cold Vigil.
That's another example of a show that needs to kind of reimagine itself.
Well, I mean, the big shift obviously was between seasons or series 1 and 2, wasn't it? Because, you know, it's not set on the Vigil anymore. So
yes.
It needed rethinking. But now all bets are off, you know, whether it be drones, you know, do it in the Arctic, whatever you like, do it underwater, it's fine.
So you were a fan?
Yes, like Vigil. Vigil's great. Yeah. Saran Jones and Rose Leslie, if people have forgotten, but it's very good. And she's like she's an investigator, isn't she?
Yeah.
She was first season, she was sent on a submarine, yeah. and then there was a whole drone false flag attack thing in the second season, and this one takes them to the snow.
That first episode of season 2 was brilliant, you know, was it, with all the drones attacking, suddenly turning around and attacking their own people. It was like...
drone on drone attack, never good.
Drone on drone, no, it's exactly. always bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So I mentioned before the ice hockey...
Mm.
romantic drama thing.
The new one.
Yes. I'm going to mention the actual details now. Get ready. And I know James
is
excited
note.
About this.
Okay. I'm excited.
Yes. Netflix has found its own Sex on Ice series, is how Variety puts it. The streamer has ordered a series version of Hannah Grace's novel Icebreaker. Icebreaker is the first of three novels that Grace has published in the Maple Hill series, set in the fictional University of California, Maple Hills. Icebreaker has spent 70 consecutive weeks on the bestseller list,
wow.
which is amazing, considering I've never heard of it, but... why would I necessarily? Published in 2022. The show is described as, she's the transfer gunning for Olympic gold. He's the campus star chasing the NHL, National Hockey League. But when an accident forces their teams to share one rink, Anastasia Allen and Nate Hawkins collide.
Anastasia Allen and Nate Hawkins.
Good names. Good,
extraordinary
strong American
names. Yeah.
sporty names.
I thought you said campist, but you said campus, right?
Campus. Maybe right, the fine. Campist as well. I don't know. Yeah. So, but bearing in mind, Heated Rivalry Series 2 will arrive
next year.
And that, it's hockey mad.
Off Campus is coming back as well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Exciting.
It's a good time to be on the ice.
Here
a
is.
Holiday on ice, if you will.
Oh, very good.
Anyway, any other news?
No, I've mentioned my most important news.
Okay, and obviously we've already talked about Boydie's book. Was there any other news?
Did you see anything? No.
There hasn't been loads, to be fair. It's not been, and that's because the World Cup, Boydie, is a devouring football-playing dragon that has consumed all media, TV and entertainment in its path.
I mean,
listen, a lot of people are watching it, okay? You just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
That hasn't stopped him before.
Hasn't stopped me before.
A lot of people are watching something.
No, that's true.
And by the way, I forgot to ask you, because you didn't cover this in the What You've Been Watching section, how many episodes of House of the Dragon have you watched?
Four.
Oh, the four that we've been
The four that we were given, okay. Yes. Right. They've not given me the rest, but I've watched the first four.
Right.
You sounded like you were about to accuse me of...
No, I was intrigued, because I was wondering whether they'd sent you more or whether... Yeah.
No, but, you know, we discussed that, because obviously I'd said that I watched them all last week, so I did not watch them this week, so that would have been a lie, boy. It would have been disingenuous.
Never lie.
No. Never lie. Always be truthful.
Okay. All right, fine. Well, if that's the end of news, we shall move on to this week's reviews, all two of them. And first up this week, we have season two of The Agency, and this is the espionage saga from the Butterworths. And this is itself an adaptation of the critically adored French political thriller Le Bureau des Légendes, created by Éric Rochon.
I apologise on behalf of...
And this stars Michael Fassbender as Martian, and he's a CIA asset who has been recalled to a desk, I tell you, in London after last season's events. Boydie, remind me how we got on with season one of this show. For the life of me, I can't remember what we said about it.
If I recall,
people were quite mixed on it initially, and I seem to recall it's because there was kind of, it's very serious. Mm-hmm. And he comes across as quite neurodivergent, which I think wasn't necessarily clear from the first episode, but became apparent as you went on, as I recall.
And I also think it was quite talky.
So it is very talky.
There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of chatter in the CIA London office about who the mole is, who the person
there are a lot
is,
of code
there's
names.
There's a lot of undercover,
a lot of code names.
Jargon. So it's quite. But my feeling is, you just let all that wash over you.
Yeah.
And you just kind of enjoy in the vibe. I really like. Actually, my favorite thing about the whole show, to go straight in, is old guys sitting around talking about all of this stuff, because especially when those old guys are played by Jeffrey Wright, Michael Fassbender, obviously the lead, Catherine Waterston,
Richard Gere.
I was leaving that to last for dramatic effect. Thanks for ruining it, Kay. And Richard Gere.
No, yeah.
I mean, and I absolutely do love Richard Gere. He's in a lot of my favorite films. I won't listen.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, of course.
So I love that. That's my favorite thing about it. There's just these long meetings they have where they kind of people shout at each other and accuse each other of being of not working hard enough to find the undercover person in their midst, or even inventing the fact there's another undercover person in the midst, and then Michael Fassbender going to secret meetings with other MI5 people and having even more long discussions with Hugh Bonneville about what the hell's going on. And I love all that. So it's actually the whole milieu of it that I think works really well. And I believe, I remember, a friend of mine told me about Le Bureau, the original French versions. And the thing that he loved about that show was the authenticity of this is what it is actually like. It's people sitting at desks, looking at their computers and trying to work out what's going on in a blurry photo, which you get a lot
of. Does your friend work in the bureau?
Oh, no. It's more the feel of it.
There's more Excel in this than in, for example, Spooks.
There's spreadsheets in the galore, exactly. And you get to see all the different levels as well of the operatives. To the people who are just like nerdy guys.
Fixing the photocopier.
Fixing the photocopier, etc. Who then suddenly have to present to the bigwigs what they've learned, and all of that. I love all of that. So I really like this show, and I think I'm pretty sure I got to the end of season one, because I didn't need to remind you what happened at the end. So he was obsessed with this woman played by Jodie Turner Smith, who you see right at the beginning of this. The first scene in this is an action thriller sequence where she's in the boot of a car and she's been kidnapped because she's been regarded as like a traitor, even though she's just a sensible university professor. So it's the constant thing driving him is to get her back and to rescue her from her captors, but at the same time he's given various tasks to allow him to help make that happen. I'm trying not to spoil the detail of it, but every element of it seems to be really, really authentic, and I've no idea if it is. It's just it feels that way.
Yeah.
Whether it's that scene in the opening where they're transporting her around and they're, you know, she's going through this terrible experience, or whether it's Michael Fassbender, his meticulousness in his home, as you say, like it feels that he's on the spectrum somehow. I really love it. I think it's a great show. And it was one of those shows that you kind of almost forget. I know when you were saying, what did we think? Well, it's 2 years ago, I think, when we reviewed it. And you can forget how good a show. This is like this cast, this talent of writing and directing. It's just incredible. This is not even like considered like a major, you know, show in a way. It's like almost slightly flown by the wayside.
It's a top drama.
Absolutely, yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah. I do. I recall us reviewing it originally, and
but do you
liked
recall
it.
What we thought?
I thought we all enjoyed it, but I didn't continue. That's the difference. So I had to do a bit of research, and I'd say anyone who hasn't watched the first series, I mean, obviously go back and watch it. But if you don't have time, just do a quick Google search and then jump straight in, because it is possible. That's the thing.
I would say there's some catching up. Specifically, the code names are quite bamboozling if you don't know who anyone is.
Yeah. We need code names, by the way.
We definitely need code names.
We'll have to think of that for class.
Yeah. You are, of course, Ferret.
You two have been reverse ferrets, so actually, I don't know. Maybe you've stolen my crown.
That's
there.
True. We've reverse ferreted. The angry ferret has ceded the crown.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought it was great, this first episode, and I didn't find it too discombobulating figuring out, you know, all the code names and the background, but I had Googled. And I just thought it was super tense and taut. And obviously, you've got all the stuff with Sammy, the Jodie Turner-Smith character, but also the character of Danny, who's, I think, in Iran, and the stuff that happens with her, and she's put in a very difficult situation.
I forgot, the whole Iranian stuff feels also torn from the
horrific
headlines.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Very, you know, she's put in a, you know, it's very hairy over there. She's put in a very difficult situation. And as you say, the Richard Gere and Jeffrey Wright, they're cock-a-hoop because they think they've succeeded in getting an asset into Valhalla, which, you know, let's just say it's complicated. The double crossing, the treachery, I thought was very exciting to watch. There's a scene in this where Fassbender is reacting badly to the fact that something bad might have happened to Sammy, right? And he's driving at speed. All I would say to you is it's so palpitation inducing. And also to me, had a reminder that not to the same level. I once had an incident in a kind of spiral car park, not to the same extent.
Was this quite triggering for you?
It just reminded me that I was very nervous about going up this spiral car park because of hill starts. And I was with a friend, and what she like at the time said to me, "Oh my God, what's happening?" Because basically, where I got nervous, I just ended up going faster. She was like, "Slow down! What's happening? Why are you going?"
You should never be allowed in a car again.
Yeah, she was like, "Why are you going faster?" I said, "Oh God, I don't know. I just might."
So you were speeding up the spiral concrete.
Because I did not want to go slow, and you know, if I had to stop for any reason, so my speed was creeping up. Let's just say he takes it to the nth degree.
I was going
to
say, now, we should say, Michael Fassbender here, his character has been trained by MI6 and therefore is reasonably confident with his hill starts.
Yes.
So
me, on the other hand, not so much. But anyway, bottom line is, I really enjoyed this and I recommend everyone watches it.
It's, do you know what? It's really compelling, to the point I'd almost forgotten quite how compelling it is, because it does take itself incredibly seriously, but rather, as you know, enjoy that.
Yeah, it has to.
But it's like the anti-Mission Impossible in a way, isn't it? Because it's not about spectacle. I mean, in this case, he's literally at a desk.
Yeah.
We just mentioned the car parks.
So. I mean, it's true. There was a high-octane action sequence where he drove at an unsafe speed in a public car park. No hill starts required. But it's you know, I think the writing's really good. I think the plotting is quite dense and convoluted. And I suppose what it looks at more than anything else is kind of like the cost of espionage work, like what it costs them to do this job, the human cost. Yes, and that I think is a really interesting
thing.
Spoiler:
it's high.
It is high, yeah. And what they give up to do this job and the reasons that they do it. But I mean, you love a spy thriller, don't you, boy?
Oh,
like
yeah,
a nutty espionage thriller. Yeah. And this has lots of twists and turns, not just in the car park. Okay, and it's great.
Do you think you could be a spy?
No.
I agree.
I'd be terrible at it.
You would.
Absolutely terrible
at it. I would as
well.
I can't lie.
It requires a level of dissembling that I'm just not capable of.
Do you know, on the other hand, who I think would be spectacular at it?
Boyd.
Yeah.
They'd be like, so, Agent Hilton, have you or anyone you know written a book in concert with Russell T. Davis? No. No, don't know what you're talking
absolutely
about.
Not.
Absolutely, yeah. Very good.
And if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Which is how he has been for the last however many months.
Oh, yeah. Interesting to point out, by the way, that there are 10 episodes. It's a lot of episodes, and they all seem to be written by the Butterworths. Jess,
really?
John Henry, yeah, every single one of them.
Do you know what? I'm kind of obsessed at the moment with siblings writing together and how that works. Mm. Like, because you've got Harry and Jack Williams who do Assassin, yes, as well. And, like, obviously it's probably no different to any other writing partnership, but, you know, siblings.
Oh, I think it is interesting. No, I think it's really, yeah. Harry and Jack, if you talk to them, as I think we both hosted Q&As with them, they're really funny about it, like how different they are as people and how... It's an interesting way of working. Yeah, Steph Brothers.
Butterworths, yes. Get in touch. Let us know.
Well, I'm sure we can get them on. Yeah. Part. Yeah, but it's excellent.
The Agency, which has begun airing now on Paramount Plus, has it not, Boydie?
Yes, I think all episodes are available now, which is, that is a good binge.
That is a good binge.
That's what, yeah, I'm saying.
A spy binge.
Mm. Yeah, fabulous. They landed on Sunday yesterday. Sorry.
Next up, we have Sugar, and this is the second series of Apple's hard-boiled detective drama. Now, oh God, a word of warning. So season one of this show contains one of the most gonzo twists in the history of television, which drops about, what, halfway through the series, something like that? If you do not know this twist, and you want to watch Sugar, and you've somehow missed hearing it on social media, you may want to skip this review entirely. Still with us? Ready? Okay, so this is a sci-fi cry show, in fact, in which, thank you, this is Steph Seelan subcategory, in which Colin Farrell plays a private detective who specialises in missing persons, except, wait for it, he's an alien.
Mm-hmm. Banana
crackers. Because of course he is.
Total banana crackers.
Which is not something you find out until halfway through the series, and there's nothing that anyone really saw coming. The second season sees an entirely new missing persons case. And so, you know, who could we turn to but our own very own sci-fi cry expert, Steph Seelan, who has parachuted in to this podcast, even though she had the day off, to tell us.
That's Sugar, professionalism right there.
That's right. Would you give Sugar season two one lump or two?
Oh, that was nice. Okay, firstly, I didn't have the day off. I just had the day off this.
The day off of us.
So I'm so excited because I got to see my beloved Gabby. Right, now, okay. Yeah, if you didn't, I think we were talking about it on Plus that there are some, you know, when you have like a catch up of a show and like, this is what this show recap is all about. That's the word, recap. Well done. Well done, you. if you haven't watched season one, and if you have, like me, devoured season one, you still need a recap because you are going to forget. So when we left John Sugar, okay, he, as revealed midway through season one, an alien private investigator in this genre-bending series, okay? Okay, I don't even need to know what I can tell. Kay's vibes.
Kay, shows like this define banana crackers. Carry
on. Okay, so when we left John Sugar, okay, the aliens that were studying the humans on Earth you're right, okay, but I'm going to try and get through this, had decided to go back to their planet, okay? He had discovered that some of the aliens were complicit in some bad shit that was going on, which again, I don't want to spoil for people. And he was like, we need to get to the bottom of who the bad aliens on Earth are, okay? So from his tribe, who are the bad aliens? His overriding quest is to find his sister, Jen, right? That's the thing he really wants to do. He needs to find Jen. That's the thing, that kind of the heartbeat of the show. He really wants to find out what happened to her. And the only person that he believed knows what happened to Jen was Henry, who was his alien handler on Earth, who is now dead, right? Okay.
R.I.P. Henry.
This is not a spoiler because it happens within the first 5 minutes. Henry's dead, and then you're revealed under a bit of cloth. Henry's blue alien, he returns. I know.
Why are they always blue, by the way? Do you think it's weird? Like, you know, Avatar, they're blue.
Oh, here we go. Boyd's blue. Avatar bashing back again.
Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
I don't know. That is a good point.
There's a lot of blue aliens
out
there. Anyway.
But this is the piercing blue eyes. Mm. So when in season one, when it's revealed that he's an alien and he looks in the mirror and he gets his, you know, the piercing blue eyes, which is an amazing thing.
Like James?
Yes, much like me. Yes.
Mm. Wow. Mm. It's starting to all fucking make sense now. Okay. Yeah. So now he's taken on this new. So the first one, as you said, was a mystery. He's a PI. And the second one is another mystery. There's a boxer whose brother's gone a bit wayward, and he needs to find out what this boxer's up to and what he's doing. Now, If you do not do a recap and you decide to start for some unknown reason in season two, you will be saying, this show is fucking nuts. I don't know what is happening. And the only thing we probably will all agree on is that Colin Farrell is absolutely delicious, and he's even more delicious
wow.
in a suit.
Objectifying much?
Mm.
Just saying. Kay, am I wrong?
Look, he wears a suit nicely, I'd
there
say
you
that.
Go. That's,
yeah.
That's damning get. With faint praise, I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah.
You're not feeling the Farrell.
No, I am.
Figuratively.
No, he... yeah, don't get any lawsuits. He looks good in a suit.
I think this is, right, for me, and I've already set out my stall that I love this show. It's classy, it's original. I love the way they intermix his, like, the Bogart references and all those scenes.
He's a cinephile, alien.
Yeah, he's a cinephile. And there's a little bit of humour. There's a great kind of scene in the first, again, 5 minutes, which adds the humour where he's with a pack of dogs, which obviously is going to appeal to me, and he's getting a ball thrown to them. It's a clever scene. And if you don't know he's an alien, which I don't know how you could have bypassed the fact that he's an alien. Anyway, unraveling mystery, that's a yes for me. I love the music. The way it's filmed is just, it's sensational to watch, I think. I also really love, I'm not generally a fan of narration, but I'll take Colin Farrell narrating anything. His narration's really good.
You need, if you're going to do a hard-boiled detective show, you need a narrator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I mean, this series is about, he's all alone. He's gone back to California. He's all alone. This is about how he's going to navigate Earth without any alien allies.
Because it's kind of a reboot, in a sort of a soft reboot, if you will, because essentially the cast has entirely changed, except for him.
Yeah, and he fell in love at the end. He decided to stay, and it opens with, I've decided to stay. He fell in love with Earth, and you are seeing Earth. This is a journey through John Sugar, the alien PI's eyes. And I know that sounds batshit. But I love it.
What's interesting to me about it is that, and I think we reviewed this without knowing the twist.
Mm-hmm. We thought it was a fairly standard.
No, but I really liked it. I remember I really liked it. It's enough. This series could be absolutely enough. Colin Farrell as an LA detective who's obsessed with film noir, like, mm-hmm. you know, the Bogart films, as you say, and there's Paul Newman's in this one, in The Hustler. There's clips of The Hustler when he goes to play Paul. That is enough. That's enough of a concept to sustain a really good show, especially one that, as you say, is as well shot and well written and acted as this. The whole alien element of it does not need to be there at all. Now, I'm not criticising the alien element, but just imagine, this show would work perfectly well as him, as a private detective, investigating crimes in LA in an incredibly stylish way, with the additional wryly funny fact that he's obsessed with old crime movies. And he's a subscriber to American Cinematographer, and he's a film
And Cahiers du Cinema, but not, crucially, Empire Magazine.
Well, I'm sure it's only a matter of time.
Twat.
Only a matter of time. But do you know what I mean? It doesn't need, and yet the alien element of it adds a whole new level of stuff that makes it even more interesting and compelling. But it's such a difficult show to talk about. You cannot talk about it without talking about the twist.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we were talking about how I bet when this goes out on Apple, when it arrives, there will be a recap at the beginning. I guarantee
has to
you.
Be.
But the way we never get to see those recaps on the preview websites that we review the stuff. It's the same with a lot of Netflix stuff. They put recaps at the beginning for their ongoing shows without us seeing them.
There
first.
Was a recap at the beginning of The Agency.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There was. Yes, that's true. Yeah. So, but oftentimes they won't. We won't see it, but they will put one. Now, to me, I'm fascinated to know, like, you know, how they negotiate and read all the press releases and stuff kind of acknowledge the twist for season two. But, you know, we've had to warn people about it as well, of course. But there is no official formal recap that we saw. And yet it still works. It still works. You don't need, I cannot say it often enough. You don't need it, but that the fact that it's there does add the other layer and makes it even more satisfying and interesting.
Question.
Yes.
If it didn't have the alien element, would we all be saying, this is great, this is just another... No, my point being, would we be saying, this is great, but it's just another fantastic crime show? It's just another fantastic cop-centred
show.
Would we be saying that?
I suppose so.
Instead of us saying... oh, it's, and I agree with you, I don't think it needs it, but it does, to use your favourite word, elevate it.
I think we would be saying that, but we'd be saying what makes it special is this really interesting film obsession he has.
Mm. That's enough. Well, because it's, but you're right, because this has two hooks.
Yeah.
It has its hook that's on the face of it, and then they yep, completely exactly. upturn you halfway through the sentence and give you another hook, exactly. a bigger hook,
yeah, that,
where
yeah.
you're just like, and this, that, this is a proper moment where you're just like, what the fuck? Have I just seen?
Guys, I'm going to run against the tribe.
Right,
here.
Okay, I'm ready for this.
Did it's ruined the show
for
you,
can I enjoy it?
Yeah. Can I just say I love you?
Oh, thanks very much. Love that.
I knew. She didn't. Colin Farrell. She was just. All she would say was. She,
no, I really love Colin. Colin Harrell.
Farrell hater.
No, love Farrell as an actor. I think he's great. I don't think he's great in this.
Oh.
As in, I think he's like. I think he's going through the motion because he's having to do. There's too much going on here, right? They're trying to do too much. Okay, so you've got the, the alien twist, which is like cuckoo bong. Then you've got the black and white, you know, the film inserts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just too much. And the narration is just too much.
Is it sensory overload for you?
No, I can handle it. It's just like it's just trying to do too many things and not doing them well. Like I'd say, strip back either one of them. Like get rid of the narration or get rid of the alien twist and just like because I would enjoy it as you describe. You know, when you're like, oh, yeah. what would you think if it was just like the, you know, movie loving PI? Yeah, I'd really enjoy it.
I think I can totally see you enjoying this as a classic. A classic cop show.
Do you know what?
She doesn't. She's not enjoying it.
If it didn't have the alien element and it stripped out the even the narration, I find a bit irritating.
Narration is very jarring. Much, you know, of that era of, you know, Bogart-esque detective films. But films, obviously not your thing, but
there is more of it than that, though. That's the interesting thing. Is so, it, of course, it is. It has got that noir style narration, but it's almost his entire internal monologue.
Yeah, yeah. So there is there's a lot. It's almost Dexter-esque.
Bogie doesn't narrate this much of his stuff. You know, this is I know what you mean. Yeah. I think his internal monologue is so kind of funny and endearing.
Yeah.
And interesting that it's fine by me, but there is a lot of it. I mean, it has to be said.
Yeah.
So anyway. All I'll say is it didn't hit the sweet spot for me.
Oh, nice. Thanks. Nice.
Appreciate it.
Loved it. Did you?
I absolutely love it. And it reminded me, I remember, forgot what I loved about it the first time round. My voice went very well. I forgot what I was doing. Maybe I'm an alien.
Maybe he's an alien.
Oh,
I'm grounding to a halt.
It's your piercing blue eyes, boy. Yeah. That's what gave it away. Mm.
But one of the things I love about it is its use of LA locations is extraordinary. And ones you don't often see normally. So there's like downtown ones. You know, he goes to Koreatown. That scene was really funny when the woman takes his car and everything. and then he's got this fantastic new house in the Hollywood Hills.
Boyd, when that scene came on, that property porn scene, I was like, Boyd and I are going to both love
it's,
this.
It's not Bosch's house. It's not Bosch.
Bosch has got a great house.
It's still lush and lavish.
I love Bosch, but you cannot bring Bosch into absolutely everything, okay?
You really don't know me as well as you think.
But the LA Vista is... Oh, yeah.
The thing that really influences, I think, the film that this is most heavily influenced by is one of my favourites of all time, which is The Long Goodbye.
Of course it is.
Is it your favourite film, though?
The Robert Altman film, The Long Goodbye. That is massive influence on this in every single way, in a good way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's really, I mean, but obviously you had me at Alien Detective, I love all the noir tropes. I think he's a great character. I really enjoy the monologue, but I like the sense of humour to it as well, which is quite subtle and understated, which is how I like my humour. Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's fun. I think when we first reviewed it, I was initially like, yeah, I quite like the detective stuff, but for me, the alien thing is obviously, it's the opposite of Kate. Mm. The alien thing has made me 10 times more interested than I would be without it. So
the alien thing is 100% going to turn loads of people off, I think.
But other people.
Yeah,
but other
people, I think the pilot listeners are going to love it.
Do you think so?
Yes.
I think if you watched it, like, naturally play out, do you know what I mean? Like if you watched this week by week, the first season, and then you got to the end, I think it was episode 6 that actually was the big reveal.
Yeah. Which actually,
I think that's not going to put you off at all. I think that must be a fabulous experience that to genuinely get a twist.
Yeah, because it's not instant alien, isn't it?
No, it's not.
But also, do you know what, weirdly, actually, if it was just the alien thing and not the other things, I could deal with that. It's just the fact that it's trying to do all of it.
It's all things I like. So it's aliens, it's film clips, it's a voiceover. I love this shit.
It's absolutely made for you.
Incredible. incredible, by the way. It won the Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Cinematography, quite rightly. It looks incredible. Apple, by the way, is, in terms of just the visuals of Apple shows, Cape Fear, I was banging on about that, how it looks most beautiful. This is all equally stunningly well shot. Like, it's amazing.
The Apple sheen.
And Sam Catlin has taken over as showrunner, who was on Breaking Bad and Preacher. And I think even from the first episode, you can notice you can notice that.
Give us some sugar, baby. And it's on Apple TV at the moment. It started, hasn't it?
It started on the 19th of June, which has already gone by.
What else is out this week?
Well, The Bear is back on Friday.
The Bear, all covered in hair, but not covered by us because it's embargoed.
Heavily embargoed.
We're going to do that on Pilot Plus. Yeah. I've already started watching it.
Have you indeed?
Yes.
Yes.
You've got access.
I have.
Yeah, I haven't started watching it yet. All episodes arrive on Disney Plus on Friday, which is very exciting. Yeah, the final season, of course. We'll see how the finale goes. House of the Dragon is on, starts today. We reviewed it last week,
but yes, that begins
slightly
today.
Slightly cheekily, but we were allowed to because of the nice... can I just say, shout out to HBO Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For allowing us to watch a show in good time and not have an annoying embargo. There was an embargo, but it was one that we perfectly happy dealt with.
Yeah, we were able to do it a week early. Yes. It was fabulous.
Now the MVPs of Screener people.
Now our favourites.
Yeah.
Yes. Then we've got Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
That's back on Thursday. I mean, I thought you liked it.
No. That's on the Netflix.
Oh, fine. That's on the Netflix on Thursday, the 25th. There's a Rick Mayall documentary on Sky, which I will definitely be watching. Rick Mayall, Magnificent Bastard on Sky Documentaries, Thursday, the 25th at 9 o'clock. There's a Prime Video South Korean rom-com called See You at Work, James, on Monday, out today on Prime
Sounds
Video.
Sounds like a threat when you say it.
It does. Yeah. It does sound like a threat.
Fair enough. That's about it. There you go.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I was about to say you missed out the Larry David one.
talk about missing out the main thing. Jesus Christ. Larry David's new show. But the reason I missed it out is because it arrives on Saturday, which is just weird.
What
exactly?
What channel? Netflix?
HBO Max. Life, Larry, and the Pursuit of Unhappiness is a 7-part sketch show about the history of America on the 250th anniversary of its independence, produced by Barack and Michelle Obama.
Shut the front door.
It's the dream.
That's got something we all like. Apart from James.
I have inquired as to whether we'll get screeners for this, and hopefully we will at some point. We just haven't got them yet.
Boyd takes back his praise of HBO immediately.
it's a roller coaster.
This is going to be the test.
This is the test, but we're hopefully we will get it. But yeah, Life, Larry, and the Pursuit of Unhappiness starts on Saturday, this coming Saturday on HBO Max.
And it's produced by Barack and Michelle.
The Obamas.
Yeah. The Obamas. Do you remember, Kay, when you were asked consistently at Heat to get an interview with Michelle Obama.
Oh yeah,
this might have actually happened,
and was actually said to me seriously. I have hasten to add,
put in a formal request.
Yep. I love being featured editor.
I tried to get an interview with Bill Clinton once. And I tried to get Al Gore, and I got Al Gore.
Of course you did.
But I didn't get Bill Clinton.
For your West Wing epic.
Oh God, we know about
50 million words thing. Yes, we know.
That is a good get.
Thank you. Anyway, what's our pick of the week?
The Agency.
Yeah. Actually, I like both.
Really interesting, Steph. I'm going to say
Sugar.
You're in the Sugar.
I haven't seen the Agency.
So Sugar it is then.
Mm. So
okay. I'm going
to
go with Steph. Sugar is my
pick.
The Sugar Agency. We're recommending them both.
Yeah.
Okay, that is it. We've had a very full house this week, haven't we? This is weird having us all in one place. I'm not sure I like it. Or maybe I love it. I don't know. I can't tell. You two are off the leash. Like, you're unchained when you're together. It's like, it's dangerous.
But look, he's able to, tell us apart, which is good. usually he calls me Steph when you're not.
Hang on,
you did that to us.
Yes, you called him boy.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't go.
Right, did I?
Back off, okay? Leave her back the fuck off, but, friend, all right?
Can I just say, it's easier to understand confusing us two since we are both middle-aged white bald men.
Listen, you said it, not us.
Although I'm more middle-aged than he is.
Sitting next to you makes me so happy, Kay. Being in your orbit makes me...
Listen,
like, fills
I'm
going to
come...
Being in your orbit?
It does.
Wow.
It
listen
cup.
To what she's saying and maybe try and
all right, let's keep the sex
that.
Talk to off air, shall we?
Everything comes back to off-campus with him now.
It does. Yeah. It really does. Anyway, that was it for this week's show. Please leave us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you should so choose. We'll be back next week with... checks notes. God, it could be anything. We've got Elle, which is the Legally Blonde prequel series. That's on Prime.
Seen it.
X-Men 97. We're all very excited about that, obviously. Yeah.
No.
Season two of that. Silo Season 3, which I may or may not have watched the entirety of.
Of course, we'll find out.
Very exciting stuff. And please do follow us on whatever social media channels you so choose. Excellent. It's goodbye from, I guess, everyone. Kay.
Bye.
Steph.
Bye. This is a new element.
Boy.
We've never had this before.
This is like some NAF game show. What's going on?
And it's goodbye from me.
You're watching the two Ronnies.
You're Ronnie Corbett suddenly.
Very much so. Oh, pilot out.